Good afternoon, welcome to our meeting. It's 1:30 PM on April 16, 2024. And time to reconvene, regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. Joining me today are Commissioner Tony Olson, to our my right, Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, to my left, John Harlow, our CEO General Manager, Colin Willenbrock, our General Counsel, Melissa Collins, our Commission Executive Services Director, Allison Morrison, Clerk of the Board, Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board, and Morgan Stolzner, Deputy Clerk of the Board. Please mute or turn off your cell phones or electronic devices. Copies of the agenda are located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. Commissioners, are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the published agenda?
I have none.
Okay, thank you. Comments to the public is item two on the agenda, and that is when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes, and persons shall be recognized to speak or sign up cards located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. If joining by Zoom, click raise hand or dial star nine if by phone. Attendees will be called upon to speak at the appropriate time. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use the microphone, state and spell your name, and indicate where you're from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioners, not the audience. If you have documents or other materials to enter into the record, hand them to the Deputy Clerk. We'll distribute them to the board. We appreciate your cooperation with our procedures. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. So we'll start out with the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next up, we have comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public on items not on the agenda? Please state your first and last name for the record. So first up, we have Mr. Keeler. I believe Mr. Keeler has given us a couple of documents. You have 5 minutes, Mr. Keeler.
My name is Stephen Keeler, resident of Edmonds, Washington. You have two documents from me, two items today. The first is a color photo, and I'm simply left to wonder who pays for the carnage when this happens. You might want to talk to the Nebraska Public Power District. Secondly, I have an item that I want to get into the record, the audio record as well, so I'll simply read it to you. It's my concluding item. With regard to the Snowflake Residential Solar Program, I, Stephen Keeler, urge the commission to direct Snowflake staff to immediately adopt and enforce the following. One, all new residential rooftop solar systems installed to participate in the program shall have all components manufactured in the United States. This means that solar cell materials, silicon or thin film, individual solar cells, solar panels, roof mounting hardware, and all system electronic and electrical subsystems and their internal active and passive components are required to be manufactured in and sourced from the United States only. Two, any existing Snowflake rooftop solar system coming up for replacement in whole or in part must meet the above item number one, the applicable whole or part. If the homeowner is not able to meet this requirement, the residential rooftop solar system in question will not be renewed by Snowflake, and any abandonment cost for such system shall be the responsibility of the residential customer only. Finally, all Snowflake residential customers participating in the program must be informed of this change as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Keeler. And looking online, I'm not seeing anyone else with hand raised. Move on to item three, our consent agenda. 3A, approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of April 2nd, 2024. B, bid awards, professional service contracts and amendments. And C, consideration of certification slash ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda? Not seeing any in the room, and I'm not seeing any online. Other questions or comments for you, commissioners?
I have no question.
I have none.
I just have one question, and if somebody knows the answer easily or not. What is a dead end? I know what a dead end is, the aspects, but we have engineered dead end structures for a substation.
It's where the line comes in and it stops. That's considered a dead end. And there's apparatus that connects the wire to the pole or the structure. That's the dead end apparatus.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions to follow? I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion carries. Next is item four, items for individual consideration. Consideration of a motion accepting the fourth quarter 2023 financial conditions and activity monitoring report. I'll call for a motion.
I move acceptance.
Okay, we have Sean Hunstock here to provide a presentation. Good afternoon, Sean.
Thank you, commissioners. I am Sean Hunstock, senior manager, controller, and auditor. It's my pleasure to bring to you today the fourth quarter 2023 monitoring report. It may seem a bit tardy. The reason this particular report for the fourth quarter is presented this time of year is because we wait for the results of the audit to complete, wait for the audits to finish. And as you heard this morning, that just recently occurred with a presentation this morning from Moss Adams on the results of the audit for 23. This is, as I mentioned, the fourth quarter 2023 financial report. Just real quickly, please stop me if there are any questions. Net income for 2023 was up compared to 2022. Total operating revenue was up as well. There are a number of factors that go into that, and we'll touch on that a little bit more in the next slide. Operating expenses were up. The large driver there was the purchase power expense, and we'll look at that in a little more detail as well. Capital expenses were up. The major projects last year in 23 were the North County office for $36 million. Those are project-to-date expenses, not necessarily just in 23, but we had $36 million for the North County office, the Stanwood Communal Transmission Line, $13 million, and various connect-up related work orders for over $30 million in total. Again, project to date, not necessarily just 2023. On the operating revenue side, retail sales were up by about $10 million or 1.5% compared to the prior year. As we'll see in a future slide, the megawatt hours billed was relatively flat for 23. So this is primarily the increase in 23 was primarily the result of the base fee changes as well as the general rate increase in April and the BPA pass-through increase that happened later in the year. Wholesale revenue is relatively flat. There's a few things that make up that, and again, we'll look at that in a little more detail in a future slide. The volume changed quite a bit, but the price did as well, so both of those factors offset each other, so the revenue there was relatively flat. Other revenue increased significantly by $28 million. 24 of that was from BPA reserve distribution clause. They passed through $24 million to the PUD. That has continued into 24, quite a bit less money, but the revenue that was received in 23 was $24 million. We also received from BPA $7.6 million of conservation achievements. And there's a portion of that $64 million for 2023 that was late collection fees as well. The megawatt hours billed has not, or did not change significantly, as I mentioned earlier, for residential customers. The rate did change somewhat. The commercial sales activity also did not change significantly in 23 versus the prior year. Where we see the big difference is with wholesale sales. As we'll see on a future slide, the output from BPA decreased significantly in 2023, which meant that we had less power available for wholesale sales because we had to use that power internally to offset the decreased production from BPA. So, as I mentioned earlier, the revenue was flat if we compare 23 to 22. However, the volume was down, but we sold that power at a higher price. So those two factors offset each other for a relatively flat change in wholesale power sales from 22 to 23. On the operating expense side, again, this is for calendar year 2023. We did see a significant increase in the purchase power expense. That was primarily related to January 23 increase cost of purchase power. So kind of a consistent theme there with changes in power sold to customers, as well as the cost of that power to the district. We also had a slight increase in O&M expenses. We reprioritized maintenance and planned projects to help offset the increase in purchase power. So the increase in O&M was actually less than what we had originally planned. But again, we pulled back and reprioritized some of those maintenance and planned projects. But overall, the total operating expenses, again, were up by $53 million, with the majority of that variance in the purchase power cost. The megawatt hours power supply, the BPA block output was in accordance with the projected load, so no significant variance there from what was expected. We did have lower output from BPA slice, and all other things being equal, a lower output will increase the cost per megawatt hour. So you see the rate was up, but the megawatt hours were down, you know, just due to the decreased output from BPA slice. The other significant change here is the market purchases. Again, we purchased more power on the open market because primarily because of the decrease in BPA slice production, and it was at a relatively high rate. It looks like a lower rate compared to 22. However, it is a historically high rate, $93 per megawatt hour. Just for reference, back in 21, that price is $45 per megawatt hour. And again, just in summary, the net income for 2023 was up by $13 million. And O&M expenses were up as well. And as I mentioned earlier, the purchase power cost was up. So a pretty consistent theme here throughout all of the quarters of last year, as well as consistent with the information presented by Sarah Bond in our budget to actual reports. Some operating indicators, our project reserves decreased as we spent bonded cash on the capital projects that I mentioned earlier. Our current ratio has improved primarily because of inventories. We're starting to see some leeway in being able to purchase some of our more expensive inventory items. So that was one of the causes of the increase in the current ratio. Our outstanding bonds have gone down as we pay down the debt service on an annual basis. And our debt service coverage has improved as well. We've well exceeded the minimum requirement, which I believe is 1.75. You can see it's here, it's 3.6. Other electric system operating indicators, as I mentioned earlier, the retail sales was relatively flat. You can see just a very small increase from, in the billed megawatt hours from 22 to 23. We did have a decrease in wholesale, again, because the power that we purchased was needed by our customers due to the decreased output from BPA. So that resulted in fewer wholesale sales by the district. Our write-offs decreased as well. That was primarily related to the utility arrearage grant that we received, as Olga mentioned this morning, $12 million in December of 22 and $6 million in June of 23. Our customer connections are up, but at a declining rate, as you can see here, 4,300 in 2023. Moving on to the water system. Revenues were up for the water system as well. So net income declined for the water system. You can see the different, the difference there was about $4 million. We had significant increases in purchased water costs, primarily related to pass-through of rate increases or cost increases from the city of Everett. So our operating revenue did increase, our operating expenses, however, increased significantly. Again, a large variance there being the purchased water cost. And capital expenditures for 2023 of just under $7.8 million. The larger projects there for the water system, the water AMI connect out, $2 million. We had $2 million of developer extensions, and we had some expenses related to Warm Beach treatment plant improvements of $1.2 million. Some operating indicators for the water system. Operating reserves still at a good level. The project reserves have increased significantly, primarily related to the bond issuance in 2023. Current ratio has improved as well, consistent with the electric system. And the senior lien debt service coverage has gone up, again, well in excess of the minimum required by our monitoring report. Some other operating indicators, the cubic feet sold retail was up, wholesale as well. And the purchased water cost was up significantly, again, reflective of the rate increase from the city of Everett. Total active customers increased by 184 in 2023. Any questions?
Questions, commissioners?
I have none. I don't have any.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
See, are there any comments from the public regarding the monitoring report? I've seen any hands raised online. Any questions or comments from you, commissioners?
No.
I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously.
Excuse me, Mr. President, did you say consideration of a motion accepting?
I said I move acceptance.
Oh, all right, thank
yeah.
you.
Because that's what the script is.
Thank you for keeping me honest, though.
Well, I don't.
No, I appreciate it.
Not hearing too well out of my left ear, so.
Next up is our CEO General Manager report. Do you have a report for us, John?
Yes, I've got a
fresh and exciting report.
Yes, a nice long list of great things. First, out of our E&E, and this is distribution and engineering, but also our corp com item on April 10th. The vegetation management team, along with our own Commissioner Rolson, attended the Arbor Day, which was held at Garfield Park in Everett. Everett Mayor Cassie Franklin, city council members, Commissioner Rolson all spoke to a fun group of kids, followed up by the planting of numerous trees in the park. PUD was recognized and awarded the Tree Line USA Award for our work supporting and partnering with the community for ongoing efforts to keep trees flourishing in our area. On Thursday, April 11th, community office superintendent and staff participated in the Arlington High School Skilled Trades Fair, which hosted hundreds of our high school kids from several high schools around the area. Several Team PUD staff spoke to high school kids about career opportunities at PUD, and also there were demos from our line crews with the ARC trailer on hand. Our operations superintendent, Casey Dahlbeck, is leading a partnership with the Everett School District for potential internship for high school students to job shadow our folks that work in the field, such as line crews, substations, meter folks. This will kick off later this month with an upcoming event hosted at our line training facility to introduce students to many of the great skilled trades the PUD has to offer. We recently had a community office staff participate at the Marysville Middle School Family Night event. Coming up on April 30th, we will have several from D&E folks participating in the RAP Regional Apprenticeship Pathways Apprenticeship Showcase event, which will be held at Marysville Pilchuck High School. The event also focuses on skilled trades that offer apprenticeship craft opportunities to help educate high school kids on the many opportunities to join an apprenticeship craft. And lastly, again, Casey Dahlbeck and East County Line Crews recently participated in two trade shows for kids out in the Salt area to again highlight future career opportunities for high school kids. We are anticipating the finalizing of the SnowSmart grant contract this summer. And John Heeb and Susie Overby are scheduled to speak at the May 3rd PNUT board meeting to present on our SnowSmart project. From HR, managing with mind and heart leadership training is going through a refresh and recommit leadership training that launched with the ELT last week. All the ELT went through it. And this is required training for all of the senior managers, foremen, and leads throughout the district, and the first one kicked off this morning. Customer and Energy Services, Tree Power has now launched between now and November 28th. Government and quasi-government and nonprofit organizations can apply for funding to purchase trees to curb urban heat island effect. Trees can reduce ambient temperatures by 2 to 9 degrees at energy efficiency during the cooling season. Funding award will be shared by August 28th. This program was created in part by leveraging our APPA Deeds program, which prioritizes research and pilot energy efficiency projects. We are excited to assist in leveraging a critical energy efficiency appliance, which is trees. From our generation power rates and transmission, the Generation Group completed the external audit of the Owner's Dam Safety Program for Comeback Dam. This audit is required every 5 years for all organizations which have a FERC-regulated high-hazard dam. The audit is intended to judge that all levels of the district are aware of the dam safety responsibilities, have open communication, and allocate sufficient resources to dam safety. The audit found that our monitoring systems are appropriate, we have open communication, which is encouraged, and documents are prepared and maintained by a dedicated and capable dam safety staff. The district also submitted a development agreement to the City of Monroe for the East County property on April 5th. This agreement outlines our intended use of the property for the new community office. Next steps will include discussions with the city staff as appropriate in June, continued discussions with the commission in July on the project budget and schedule development. With the appropriate approvals, the property purchase could occur in September. And from CorpCom, the 2023 annual report is done and was posted last week on our snowpud.com. Great job to the finance team members that partnered with CorpCom for this important publication. The Spring Current hits mailbox this week, and the Energy Block Party is less than 2 weeks away. And lastly, I wanted to take a moment to praise our own Rob Weiler for his awareness, safety mindset, and potentially life-saving measures. Several of us were in San Antonio this past week for the Large Public Power Council Conference. While on the famous Riverwalk, the final afternoon of the conference, Rob noticed a man who seemed to be a little off. Suddenly, the man passed out cold in his chair and fell straight over backwards, hitting his head on the concrete. Rob rushed to his aid, braced his neck, instructed others to call aid and block foot traffic, and kept the gentleman stable until he regained consciousness. He eventually provided police and EMT with a description of exactly what happened. And we have many everyday heroes among us at the PUD for sure, and I want to give Rob a huge shout out for his quick thinking and bravery. And we are all lucky to have him at the conference, no one more so than the gentleman who needed his assistance. That's it. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
On the Monroe negotiations, you met with city council and you're going to be meeting with staff in June, is it?
They submitted the development agreement to the city of Monroe.
Oh.
And they will be meeting with staff in June. Yeah, talk through that.
Did you tell me, or did you tell us before that you met with council?
We had presented to council, and it was, yeah, this phase has been going through the development agreement process and getting that ready for submittal, which you've done.
Thank you.
You bet.
Ms. Rosen, questions for John?
Oh, I have my observations, you know. The ever-growing work that's being done with regard to outreach in the community, I think that you're focusing on high school students, probably near graduation. I mean, great jobs here, and I don't know anything about them.
Yep.
So I've seen such an increase in the PUD's outreach and extension, so good job.
Yeah, you see that as a target-rich environment.
Oh.
Yeah, I just want to add on to that. I'm thrilled with all that we're doing in high school. I saw some social media outposts from my local high school. I saw a lot of social media posts on you being at Arbor Day. That's a beautiful day. A lot of helpers.
I had the fourth grade audience, and so I went into, which I wasn't supposed to, selling our block party and got them all interested in a parking lot full of all those big trucks. And so some of them had their parents with them in their country, handed out flyers.
When you say selling, you know it's a free event.
I did not that, and I handed out the flyers again, but promoting, not lobbying, just outreach.
Yeah. So I guess I want to say also snaps to Rob Beidler. John, I was lucky that he was there. And John, I'm sorry that nobody wants to job shadow general manager.
I feel left out.
Awkward. All right. Next, we'll move to item 6, commission business. 6A, commission reports. Reports, commissioner.
Just the usual meetings, Public Power Council and Pacific Northwest Coordinating Council. Those were virtual, but interesting, as always.
Any reports?
No.
Okay. Next, we'll go to our commission events calendar, item 6B. Are there any changes to the commissioner event calendar?
I'm not aware of any. Oh, but I was looking for, I didn't think the fly-in. I see it's here, May 7th to 10th.
Yeah, I was.
I really think it's great that we've included.
Yeah, I really feel fortunate that I can go with Brenda and help represent the utility.
Great.
Okay. Next, we have item 6C, consideration of resolution amending resolution number 5924 in adopting amendments to the Board of Commissioners government policies entitled Executive Limitations, Governance Process, Board CEO General Manager Linkage Policies, and Board and Owner Linkage Plan. I will call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay, we have Colin Willenbrock available to answer any questions regarding the resolution.
Since President.
What?
I was looking at this. Call for a motion, and it says President Colin Willenbrock.
The President says.
Did something happen that I don't know about?
Are there any comments from the public regarding the resolution? I'm not seeing any hands up online, not seeing any in the room. Are there questions or comments for you, Commissioner?
No, we had quite a lengthy meeting about it, so I think we would have had most of our questions taken care of at that time.
I do have a couple of comments, and it relates to sections of GP4 and, where's the other one? Anyway, it relates to GP4, then the planning, and it relates to the section that currently is titled Clerk of the Board. And I'm only want to ask my fellow commissioners, I'm not asking for any formal action today, but to bring parts of these sections back at our next governance workshop or our special meeting. One, because the one under agenda planning, the agenda planning one is page 169.
Okay.
And because we talked about it the last couple of workshops, and it has to do with updating it based on current practices, and we've always put it off. And the fix, I don't think, is very big, but I would like to get your support in asking the clerk to make sure that it's...
We review that at the next time.
Is that, did we decide that? Okay.
No, that you're saying, you want to review it the next time we review.
Yeah, although I checked with, oh, she's doing stuff now. Anyway, I would like your concurrence on that. And then I would like your concurrence on bringing up the section that was on titled Clerk of the Board, page 187. And I would like us to discuss that again at our next workshop, only as it relates to portions of it that are associated with coordination and process. Section that, as it now stands and what we have in our packet, has morphed beyond what I think the original intent was. So I think there's value in only looking at it from that perspective.
Okay.
So if I can get your concurrence, we can ask the clerk of the board to add that to that agenda.
You have my concurrence.
That would be fine. Yeah,
thank you.
Okay. You know, I just have some comments. I want to thank Allison especially for pulling all that together. It was quite a bit to get everything we needed to do it. It was just how I wanted it, with a big screen in there so we could track changes and work on it together. So thank you very much, Allison. And she provided food. So that's that.
Oh, was there food there? They hid it from me.
Oh my gosh. And then I want to thank Colin for coming and being so prepared. So appreciate it very much. Any further comments, questions, follow-up?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I just also would say recognize Melissa Collins, who also put a lot of work in the governance process and has kind of lived and breathed this thing. Also want to make sure, correct for the record, that Commissioner Olson's comments were not intended to modify the motion.
Oh, absolutely not. No, no.
Okay.
I'm understanding as it stands, and again, a qualifying ask was as an only narrow second look at that specific area.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Just a clarification.
Okay. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Next, we have our governance planning calendar. 7A, are there any changes to the planning calendar?
Oh, I have none.
So I have a topic I'd like to add potentially, depending on how people feel about it. You know, I read with keen interest the BP staff recommendation to move forward on Markets Plus, to move that direction, and was dismayed at some of the comments made by others. Comments about waiting for the Westwide Pathways Initiative, which concerns me because it started so late, and I feel like we're excluded from that. So I'm wondering, at an appropriate time, if there's an update we could have on where this is all going and how we can have some input, if possible, on that other initiative.
Yeah.
It's just a really strange
situation. Just so you know, Garrison's in contact with our office today, and we have added some presentations for the next meeting.
Wow.
Gee, as you ask and you get.
And you ask, yeah. Okay, sounds like that's good.
That's good.
Then I don't have any changes to the planning calendar. So is there any further business to come before the board?
I have none.
Okay. It is now 2:05 PM and the board will recess into executive session to discuss the performance of a public employee under the terms set forth in the Open Public Meeting Act. It is anticipated the executive session will last approximately 90 minutes and conclude at 3:35 PM. The regular meeting will adjourn upon the conclusion of the executive session.